Cheaters, Boston will not be heard tonight because a lot of people thought it would be a cold play to do so. See what we did there? Instead, we bring you the 500th episode of a series where people really love their work.
On August 2012, we decided to take our show that we've been doing with the help of instant messaging services here, near and far, to a more direct approach, that being the podcast route. And now, here we are, 12 years, well, almost 13 years, actually, and 499 episodes later, it is time to celebrate. Hi, I'm...
So that's why I am wearing my tuxedo t-shirt.
No, you're wearing your tuxedo t-shirt because it's comfy.
Okay.
Remember, we are of the age where we are not built for speed, we are built for comfort. Which is also why, wait for it, I am not wearing any pants.
Why is this day different than any other?
I don't know.
But yes, I'm not wearing any pants either. Gordon, your thoughts?
I am wearing my ego and pride and pants. But okay. I'm humbled.
Now you're wearing pants.
Well, it's a special occasion. It's the 400th episode, and I'm humbled to everyone that has listened. I'm humbled to everyone that has taken their time and has listened to us and has said, you know what, this is pretty cool. We like this.
Yes.
I mean, we've not only done it for 400 episodes, we're about to do it for our 500th episode, sir. You know? So, it's amazing that we have done this and have covered this on a vocal form for, you know, we've been covering the industry for over almost 20 years now. Probably more.
We've been covering the industry since 1999. Of course, Jason Elliott with the ball leading the way and then passing it over to us. And now we pass it over to you all as a new chapter in game show history is about to be written. As we go from Millionaire to Match Game to Big Brother to Drag Race to stuff that is on... Are we selling out, G? Are we selling out?
You sold out. You sold out.
Yeah, but you know... But we've been doing... But for the 500th time, Chico, do it.
For the 500th time, from somewhere in America, we love to interrupt show number 500 is on. Let's go.
Whee.
For the 500th time, this is the world's strongest game show podcast going on and on and on. My name is Jason Block, strength and conditioning coach, all-around good guy. This is 5-1. I am here with the people who I have shared the vocal airwaves for over all that time, my brothers from another mother, and my awesomely good friends, Chico Alexander and Gordon Pepper. Gentlemen, happy anniversary, sir.
Happy anniversary to you.
But let's get right into it. And this is pretty much 30 seconds of, because we predicted this. Squiz.
She already the hair hurt.
Cover girl, put the bass in your walk. Head to toe, let your whole body talk.
Okay, so if you've been paying attention, then you probably know how this is all going to turn out. But let's talk about how we got here. It is a Tournament All-Stars SmackDown for the Crown. The final eight contestants compete in a series of lip sync contests with a wild card appearance of Kerry Colby. And, I mean, for what it's worth, it was a really entertaining stuff to see.
But you know what? Actually, it wasn't. Because, again, you knew what was going to happen, and the journey wasn't really that entertaining to me. Okay? The winner of this, as expected, it got down to Ginger Minj versus Georges, and Ginger Minj beat Georges and its reigning men to win the crown of $200,000. She won the crown and $200,000. And Gordon, I actually think this All-Star season was an absolute bust, don't you?
Gordon, did you think it was predictable and boring?
Yeah. I do agree. I'm not sure about the boring part, because even a train wreck is entertaining in some standard. But yeah, the boring part, you're absolutely correct on.
Yeah, there was no sort of Cinderella moment. It was all very predictable, but at the same time, it was very entertaining to watch.
And there are rumors that the All-Star 11 cast has been leaked, too. We're not going to do rumors necessarily on that one.
We haven't done rumors before. Why start now?
Exactly. But there's a whole All Stars 11. That's going to film. When do you think next season of Drag Race will start filming, or do you think it already has?
I think the next season of Drag Race will produce in the fall to air next year early
2026.
You know, right now we're just in a holding pattern until Paramount decides we're ready.
They're not going to give $1.5 billion to the South Park people, which they did. But
they knew what they were getting into when they signed the checks, buddy.
Mm-hmm. Very quickly, Gordon, I'll just ask, what do you think they have to do to improve the All-Stars format?
Gordon?
In terms... you know what? It really depends, because there's some seasons where it went off masterfully, and then there's other ones that we just went, really? This is what we're getting?
Right. So
I mean, I don't know, but I would also say the entertainment value from a second screen experience, it has to be better than what we're currently getting.
I'll buy that. Congratulations, Ginger Minj. Do not spend all of your money in one place.
Yes, exactly. And by the way, your new tour is going to come out real soon anyway.
There you go.
We need to go to Studio Radford, please.
Previously on Big Brother.
Zay got evicted, okay? So after the eviction, a mastermind breaks into the Hotel Mystere, stealing all the game advantages and the HOH key from the safe. It was a BB break-in competition where the house guests had to navigate pitch-black sewers to recover the stolen items. Jimmy is now the new head of household. Keanu earned the mystery competitor power, allowing a former house guest to compete in the veto on his behalf, which we'll get to in a minute.
I think that's very clever, by the way.
Okay. Kelly also secured another one, which was the mystery veto, granting her a chance to compete in a private veto competition after the standard one. And Mickey won the HOH interrogation power, giving her the ability to anonymously dethrone the HOH unless correctly identified during a formal interrogation. So, the nominees were Adrian, Keanu, and Kelly. So, Keanu activated his mystery competitor power, and the one house guest that was drawn was Ava, and the veto competition was Casey, it was called Court Creeping Competition. The players had to hold two buttons on a wall until they heard the code word Creeper, announced by Big Brother 25's Felicia Cannon. Once the word is heard, players race down a lane to press their buzzer, and it was a, you know, last person standing. And Casey won, securing the power of veto. Keanu was out. Okay.
No. And it secures the power of veto for Keanu.
For Keanu, and he's off the block. So then Jimmy nominates Amy. Kelly said, she has a mystery veto because she won one in the mystery competition. Okay? And the Jimmy selected Will. And, well, in the BB...
Okay, well, before we get to the vote, let's get to the BB Blockbuster, which is called Puzzling Prince, where our nominees have to race to complete a 12-piece puzzle. Adrian secures the win. Was it even close? Removes himself from the block, which leaves Amy and Will, the two replacement nominees, and by a unanimous decision, 13-0, Amy, the apprentice, is going to... the WLTI Losers Lounge Couch. Yes, it's the WLTI Losers Lounge Couch. We have comfortable seating, remote control freedom, Sydney Sweeney soft ass cushions, cup holder, your very own cubbyhole, and an e-reader preloaded with a copy of Codependent Cure, the No More Codependency Recovery Guide for Obtaining Detachment from Codependency by Gene Harrison and Beatty Gray, as well as the Club Gordon Banger of the Week. Gordon?
So the banger of the week is going to be It Takes Two from Rob Bass and DJ Easy Rock, because it certainly took two to get that new conglomeration going.
That's true. Now, okay, keep going.
You want snacks? We got snacks. We got Goobers, Raisinets, Pretzels, Oreos, Sprees, Chewy Sprees, Hot Cheetos and Takis, Chilled Reese's Cups, Cheez-Its, Pizza Pringles, Moon Pies, Funyun, Fun Dip, Garrett Chicago style popcorn. If you're thirsty, we have the drinks that'll cure your little loser thirst. We have Coke, Diet Coke, Coke Zero, Sprite, Snapple, Oyster Spray, Ruby Red, Dr. Pepper, Simply Orange, Simply Cranberry, Tang, Red Kool-Aid, Sunny P, Purple Stuff, Purple Drink.
Big Sips, Purple Punch.
Ha ha! And the number one snack combination of the WLTI Loser's Lounge Couch, that is Krispy Kreme, Glass of Glazed Donuts, and Izzy Soft Drinks. And the number one rule of the WLTI Loser's Lounge Couch, you can sleep on it, you can hog the cushions, but you do not hog the Krispy Kremes and Izzy Soda. Y'all don't come back now. You hear?
Now, Gordon, I have to ask this question. Was this unanimous vote a screw you to Rachel?
No. I think it was much more of a, well, we didn't want to get anybody throwing any shade at us. So, therefore, let's go with the majority, and we will save our Benedict Arnold training powers till next time when we think we actually do have the numbers.
Okay. That's fair.
Yep.
Because right now... We're having another entertaining season, by the way.
Yes, we are. It's one of those things where it's like you don't really know who's working with who. We've got the Burger Boys. We've got the men versus the women. We've got all of this stuff going on. Meanwhile, somebody's got to be in the backyard pulling all the buttons.
We don't know who the mastermind is. Yet.
Well,
okay.
We all do, but they don't. They don't know that they just voted out the mastermind. Oh, wait. They just voted by the mastermind's apprentice. Sorry.
Correct. We don't know who the mastermind is. And by the way, we're getting something new, which is sort of a version of the Drag Race Untucked. We're getting Big Brother Unlocked with Derek from Season 16 and Taylor from Season 24. Are we going to get anything new? I want to see what they do with this. I want to watch.
My mind immediately goes to Love Island After Sun, which is basically a week-by-week look at what's been going on in the house. So sort of a recap for everybody who has missed it the first time.
Gordon, what do you think this is going to be?
There's a lot of different questions that need to be answered, which is a good benchmark of a good Big Brother season. There's certain things that they've announced that I'm like, well, this is going to be interesting. But the other catch becomes, can they do that without getting caught?
Yes. We shall see. But
we shall.
We shall. But for the second to last time this season, Mr. Gilbert.
From the Alex Trebek stage at Sony Pictures Studios, this is Jeopardy!
Who wants a Sweet 16 party?
We do, because Scott Riccardi has been on fire for the last six.
He has been an absolute dominant monster.
Dominant. And today was no exception against Sinead Goltom and Sarah Rubenfeld. By the way, a software engineer from Houston. And
Sarah is an attorney from Houston.
Right. And we have another locked game. Scott at 24, Sarah at 7-6, and Sine at 18. With this final Jeopardy category in theories. A version of this theoretical economic process was horse and sparrow. If you feed the horse enough oats, the sparrow's fed afterwards. I knew this.
I also knew this because I am a disaffected Gen Xer. The correct response, what is trickle-down economics?
Correct. Scott wins.
I had what is a daily feast in New York? Because you have the pigeons eating and then doing their business all over the horses.
Indeed. Perfect. So Scott,
which is a different sort of trickle-down economics.
Yes, ew, gross. Yeah, poo-poo indeed. Scott has 24,090, and he will go into the final game tomorrow with 455,000 flat, and there will be a special celebrity category with Jamie Lee Curtis and Lindsay Lohan to promote their movie Freakier Friday, which comes out, I believe, next month.
Yes.
They will not be
yes.
there. I also, Ken Jennings is going to appear not once, actually in the next story, but twice in the Mediaho report. Okay?
Yes.
So let's talk about Ken Jennings for a moment. But before we do that, because we have the season premiere of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, and yes, I did watch this. Now, here's a little fun fact for you.
Wait. What happened to I'm boycotting everything?
I am an unbiased journalist.
Okay, unbiased journalist.
Okay. So we start with people who are two of the hosts of...
Whose Line Is It Anyway?
Drew Carey and Aisha Tyler, who was playing for the La Maida Project and the International Rescue Committee. Now, Drew Carey won $500,000. I actually had the pleasure of meeting him in that episode taping, because that was the first. That's when Rosie came. Okay? And, very, very, very nice guy. A get through the first nine without an issue, but to get to the 10th question, and this is what happened. And Gordon, you probably knew this. With a whopping, for the 32,000, with a whopping 11... Which of these singers has more number one hits on the Billboard Hot 100 than the other three combined? Whitney Houston, Celine Dion, Tina Turner, Miss Britney Spears. Did you know this?
I knew this.
Okay, repeat that one more time.
With a whopping 11, which of these singers has more number one hits on the Billboard Hot 100 than the other three combined?
I believe the answer is going to be Whitney Houston.
You are absolutely correct. However, they used the Ask the Audience line. The audience said Britney Spears.
Oh, no.
Britney Spears does not have a lot of number one hits.
She had five, if the number was correct.
Yep, she had five. Celine Dion had four. Tina Turner only won.
And what happens is that they go out, but they get $32,000. Okay.
And now... So then,
now the fun stuff, okay? So Ken Jennings comes out and says... And Jimmy Kimmel says, you're going to do this by yourself, right? He goes, no! I got a friend of mine. And he brings out Matt Damon, who is in his for his beard for the Odyssey, okay? Which is, by the way, the tickets are on sale now for next year.
Yeah, it comes out 2026, and I cannot wait.
And then, of course, Jimmy and Matt, who are doing the, and this is really old school, Fred Allen and Jack Benny routine, if you know what that means, okay? They really aren't feuding, but they're pretending they are, okay? So, and they are playing for a very good charity called Water.org. So, they get through the first 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Okay, and, here's the interesting thing. They don't need a lifeline till $250,000. Okay? I did not know this, but this is very cool. Okay? Here's the question, Gordon. Believed to help them in conserve energy, vertical sleeping is a unique behavior exhibited by which of these animals? Sperm whale, Actrian camel, Canada goose, or the ring-tailed lemur?
From a logical perspective, you would think it would be a ring-tailed lemur, because they would use the tail, unless they do sleep vertically. However, I don't think that's the case. I think it's a goose.
No.
I Googled it. Did you know this?
I did know this. I knew this when? Because I took a marine biology class in college, but yeah.
Okay,
so let me set the stage here. They use the Ask the Audience. 57% of the audience go with A, sperm whale, which, by the way, is the correct answer. They go with sperm whale, they win $250,000, and for the first time since January of 2021, we hear the alarm go off, which means it's bedtime. Night's over.
Which means we will get the continuation of the game next week. Now, let me ask you something, Gordon. What do you think happens? Do they win the million, 500,000, or stop with 250?
It's interesting. I'm going to say they stop at 500.
They have three lifelines, by the way. Own a friend.
Yeah, I'm going to say it stops at 500.
Okay. I say they win it. I say they go. I say they do it all. I say they do it.
I do not doubt the greatest of all time. So, give me Ken and Matt for the million.
Okay. So, in that same night, we had the premiere of Match Game with Martin Short.
Yes, it is the same. It's basically built as season 6, and they make no attempts at hiding the fact that they haven't been around for 4 years. But yeah, it's a brand new season, and the stars for the season premiere are a couple of co-stars from Only Murders in the Building, which I believe also tapes in Canada. Selena Gomez, Cara Delevingne.
Oh, it doesn't?
Yeah.
Cara Delevingne. You also had Kevin Nealon, Anthony Anderson, Z-Way, and BD Wong. Gordon, remember you were telling me that it all had to depend on the execution of Martin Short?
Yes, I do remember saying that.
Boy, were you right, because Martin Short is absolutely horrible in this. He's terrible.
I don't like to say I told you so, but...
No. It's not the fact that he's not a good conduit. It's about that he made it all about him. See, Alec Baldwin made it about him, but he knew enough not to let it overshadow anything. Martin Short is chewing the scenery, and it's bad. It's really bad.
Am I the only one that notices that the set was really, really big, and I just thought that Martin Short was just flying all over it, trying to do physical comedy on a show that does not call for it? Okay, I guess
I am. To be fair...
Yeah, you are...
No, you're not, but... I'm sorry, Jay, you say your thing, then I'll say mine.
Oh, I was just about to say... Martin Short is the number one right now worst new game show host of 2025 right now. In the lead, he's the leader in the clubhouse.
He's definitely the leader in the clubhouse, but to be fair, since we like being fair about these things, to be fair, this is somebody that, and you know, the irony of this is me saying to be fair, but to be fair, the irony of this situation is that he is starting to come out in terms of being his own self, and I think part of the issue that he's going to be having is to, number one, he has to fill the shoes of one Alec Baldwin, which is never going to be easy, number one. Number two, he's got to make it his own. If you remember, Drew Carey, at the beginning, that first season of The Price is Right when he was on, was, shall we say, awkward. You knew he was good, but you knew that the chops were there. He just had to make it a Drew Carey thing without making it about Drew Carey. Martin Short is unenviably in that same position, and maybe they are setting up the episodes in that way where they're getting the bad ones out first, and then they're going to be moving on. Because again, you got to remember, these are all self-contained episodes. We don't know the order that these episodes are in. We do know, for the most part, at least at the beginning with Alec Baldwin, he grasped it almost immediately, and it was the stars that were chewing up the scenery that he sort of had to get past and deal with regardless. So it's a matter of that. But I do like being right, which is for me normal circumstance. That being said, I don't want to be right on this one. And
no,
jury's out.
Yeah, the jury is out. And by the way, we will go into a business story that it just broke, which we'll get to in the Brain Vision. But before we do that, do you want the breaking news now? Because I think I can give you the breaking news now before we get to the last one. Thank you. Let me know when I can do it.
Go ahead.
In a 2-1 vote this afternoon, the FCC has approved merger between Paramount Global and Skydance Media. According to CNN, approval means that the Skydance CEO, David Ellison, can complete the deal and take control of Paramount in the coming weeks. Gordon, your thoughts?
In other news, water is wet. I mean, I don't understand why you would think that it would be any other decision besides that one.
Okay. Well, yeah. Well, everyone's going... Well... You can say, I mean, some people might say, allegedly, that the settlement of the lawsuit and all the things that CBS has done over the last couple of weeks might have influenced the commissioners to do what the president wanted. Could say that. Could.
Well, it's got nothing to do with could or not. It is. Clearly, there is something coming up. Clearly, and again, if you are, and I want to try to get politics out of this, especially because we like to avoid that.
I know, but I'm just saying, it's you can't. That's the problem.
No, you can't.
You can't. Okay, and I'm not saying that as someone who supports the other team. I'm just saying that that a lot of stuff stinks politically, and this is including of this. Okay, I can be honest and fair and say, because the lawsuit got settled, because the Late Show got canceled, that Trump said, okay, FCC, you can approve it, and let's make it 2-1 to make it more interesting. You could say that. You could legitimately say that. So.
You have the feeling that this is not going away anytime in the near future as much as...
Oh, yeah.
Paramount wants to make it go away. Yeah.
Hey. I'm just gonna say, hey, Gordon, did you see South Park last night?
I'm yes, I did, and I'm waiting for the Jeffrey Epstein version of Match Game to show up, the Jeffrey Epstein episode.
Great.
Because if you remember, Match Game has always been, yes, they skewer everybody, but they definitely skewer.
Yes. So they did, and they need to. But we have to end on a sad note.
I mean, if you look at it this way, which is a little bit crazy, and then I'm sorry, I'll let you get back into it. With the late night talk shows going away, the show that may be the most opinionated politically that's left, Match Game?
Maybe.
Possibly. That's the thing about Match Game. It gives as good as it gets on its best days.
Yes. But moving on. We just finished a podcast about this, and we can actually do it here because we could cover it because we lost Terry Bollea, a.k.a. Hulk Hogan, this week. Yet today, at the age of 71, we just did a half hour on it on the NAWC. But the reason why we can talk it about it here is because Hogan was a game show host. One show.
But it was
Gladiators 2000.
No. You're thinking of Ryan Seacrest. No, it was American Gladiators, the 2008 reboot on NBC, which he hosted with one Layla Ali. And I'll tell you right now, it was born out of necessity because they needed strike programming, and it ended up being one of the definitive shows of that era, the 2007, 2008, 2009 era, kind of fell off after season two, and yeah, it was never seen nor heard from again, except for fast channels. But yeah, Hulk Hogan was basically, he was the showman. He was ever the showman. He's been the showman. He was brought up as a showman. We all remember the Halcyon era of WrestleMania, and I believe what'd you say, January 23rd, 1984, the day Hulkamania was born. Here we have this hyper patriotic, bordering on Jangoistic wrestler, whooping up the crowd, playing to the audience, doing what they want to do, giving everybody a hero to cheer for, and then he moves to WCW and turns heel.
Yes.
But still, in between all of that, we also have Hulk Hogan, the actor, with No Holds Barred and Santa with Muscles, although I really want to forget that, and Rocky III with Sylvester Stallone and Suburban Commando while we're on Stinkers.
Yeah, no, exactly, but again, you know, we talked about his legacy and all that stuff, but was he a good game show host? Oh, no.
Really hard to judge a person's show acumen on two seasons of one show where he's basically playing up his character. Now, he was not exactly...
Excuse me. Titan Games on line one, okay?
Okay. I see you. But here's the thing. Hulk Hogan, he was good at what he did. He whooped the crowd. He got everybody ready for action. He was the consummate... He turned from the consummate performer to the consummate ringmaster, is what I want to say. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. Moment of silence, please.
Thank you. Still to come on the big show, Graham, we are celebrating our 500th episode by selling out. But first, it's all the news you didn't even know you needed to know, including a long favorite franchise is coming to my neck of the woods. With Gordon Pepper and Jason Block, I'm Chico Alexander. Stick and stay with 5-1. You're home, for we love to interrupt. You give us 22 minutes.
I will give you 22 things that we are not allowed to talk about anymore, because if the politicians find out, we can get canceled.
I mean,
like,
that...
for real.
No, that... that... that...
oh, yeah.
Chico, we... especially that.
Oh. All I have to say is, bleep. Let them try.
Right. We'll be back right after this.
One in four of us will be affected by mental illness at some point in our lives. Yet nearly two-thirds of us will never seek help, especially men. We pride ourselves on courage and our ability to never show weakness. But mental health touches us all. We are athletes, actors, and musicians. We are friends, husbands, and fathers. It's one of us. It's one of you. It's time for men to talk about mental health. Help starts with the conversation. End the stigma. To learn more about our stories, visit bringchangethemind.org.
What's going on, WLTI? How you doing, my friends? Congratulations on 500. 500? Podcast recordings? Listen, in my podcast, I think we're only on like 40. I mean, it's amazing what you guys have done. You guys have been doing this probably before any of us have. Very early on, I remember talking with you guys around the time of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire and Weakest Link, when everything was new and fresh in primetime game shows. You guys were covering it. Congratulations. I love you all. You are my favorite, period, out there. Congratulations on your 500th show, and here's to 500 more, and maybe you'll have me back on sometime. I'm ready. Let's go.
Oh, thank you very much. Tim Sternberg, veteran of Millionaire, Wheel of Fortune, and more recently, Trivial Pursuit.
Yes, and he made it to the finals on that, and he's actually one of the very, very, very nice guy.
He is an absolute gem. I love Tim. I really do.
Yes, absolutely nice guy, but lots of news, not a lot of time. Gordon, if you would, please.
Roll that beautiful brain footage.
From the four corners of the globe to your frontal lobe, this is WLTI Brain Vision News with Chico Alexander, Gordon Pepper, and the award-winning Brain Vision News team.
Thank you very much, Doug Morris. As always, you can follow Doug Morris on all social media, Doug Morris Games at Rock 104 Rock Tracks and at Tracks Productions, and please do not forget to listen to him every Sunday as he hosts from high atop his palatial estate in the Pine Belt, Rock Tracks with Doug Morris. Music, news, sports, the whole thing. That's on Rock Tracks with Doug Morris on our favorite Mississippi-based classic rock station, Rock 104, WXRR Hattiesburg, 104.5 on your FM dial and all over the known
multiverse.
On rock104fm.com, the Odyssey app, and the Rock 104 app.
Nico, I need you to take this one. This one's all on you. It's got two things. I can't say that.
Yep, that's
no,
what
you cannot. That's You're a bad, bad boy.
Jason Ian Block.
Just hit the Concords, please. I'm dead.
It's business time. It's business time.
I don't know what you're trying to say. You're trying to say it's time for business. It's business time. Ooh,
it's business.
I just want to apologize to you all. Jason Block. Jason Block is a heathen and a blaspheme.
Well, let me explain why. So there is a new dating show coming out called Are You My First, hosted by Colton Underwood and Caitlin Bristow, and both of Bachelor Nation, I believe.
Right.
Reason is that you get the you know, a group of hot singles looking for love, right? Nothing new, right? Nothing new.
Nothing new.
Except for one thing. Every one of those groups are virgins.
The log line. In this groundbreaking new dating experiment, the largest, hottest group of virgins ever assembled searched for intimacy, love, and maybe their first in a tropical paradise designed just for them. For the first time, they're free to explore their connections without judgment, allowing these sexy young singles to embark on a heated yet heartfelt journey packed with romantic dates, revealing challenges, and new love interests eager to find the one. Who will find that special someone? And who will go home hot, bothered, and heartbroken?
I thought they were going to say something else.
Can I put on my snarky bastard hat?
Would you mind letting him borrow it? Pardon?
Gordon, can I borrow your snarky bastard hat?
Make sure you use that one and not the avocado Dr. Phil hat, please.
Okay. We're pulling out.
And that would be the cynical bastard hat, not the snarky bastard hat.
I could be cynical and snarky at the same time.
Go for it.
Okay, fine.
Okay.
That's the CSB, cynical snarky bastard hat.
CSB, baby. Go ahead.
If you believe that everybody is as pure as they say they are on this show, then I have a bridge in Brooklyn to sell you.
I agree with you. This first of all, with all due respect, how are they going to prove that they didn't do what they say they didn't do?
I could answer that question, but there are women listening to us, so...
Correct.
No.
Exactly.
The children.
Right.
Think about the children.
Children, will you... Oh, but seriously, August 18th on Hulu, I'm curious in a car crash sort of way. But seriously, Chico, you need to eat.
No, I don't. I'm working on
you
myself.
You need to eat.
Okay, so, all right, here's the deal. Top Chef has just picked their location for season 23. It is Top Chef Carolinas. We're going to Charlotte.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
Because Chico.
Oh.
Because you better, seriously, I'm not joking around. Google, you will have to Google Top Chef casting. Okay? Like Top Chef guest casting or something like that.
Yeah, you're going to have to tell me how to be a guest on Top Chef because I want it. I'm ready to eat. I'm ready to eat.
And yes, and by the way, this is not the first time they've been there, according to Eater.com. This is they filmed season 14 in Charleston, South Carolina.
I was just about to say, before I was rudely interrupted, not only are they going to Charlotte, North Carolina, they're also going to Greenville, South Carolina. So they are basically taking the Metro Liner this next season.
Mm-hmm.
Production begins this summer and will premiere in 2026.
Well, that is actually great. But Stout's 2026. This is now. Tomorrow is the season finale of Jeopardy. Boom! Six weeks of reruns. That sucks.
It's also the last episode ever that will be illegally streamed on YouTube.
That's right, because the streaming starts in a few months as well. Sunday is the barbecue brawl and season finale on Food. Naked and Afraid Apocalypse on Discovery. Monday is the season finale of Lego Masters. Wow. You know, I honestly didn't even know the show was on. That's how bad it is, really.
Well, it's not bad. It's just there.
Right. The Worst Cooks in America, Talented and Terrible. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, that's going to be the final season with Anne Burrell, by the way. They did determine her cause of death. We will not say what it is, but yeah.
Check yourself. Check in on your people. Just saying. Tuesday is the season finale of Destination X, and I believe this show is going to get a second season.
I agree with you. It's very compelling, and Jeffrey Dean Morgan's been doing a really bang-up job with it.
Wednesday, we complete the games of Matt Damon and Ken Jennings, and then get to Gordon Klepper and Ronnie Cheng on Millionaire, and then on Match Game, the stars are Caroline Ray, Dave Farrow, Anna Gasteyer, Phoebe Robinson, Randall Park, and Constance Zimmer. And on Thursday is the Celebrity Family Feud, Diplo versus Laverne Cox, and General Hospital versus The Young and the Restless, and the season premiere on Freeform, Hulu, and Disney of Project Runway, with a Drag Race alum as one of the designers.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about Dat App, though.
Okay, so Tamra Judge, Dolores Catania, and Wells Adams, three well-known contestants on The Traitors, are coming together to make an official rewatch podcast called By Order of the Faithfuls.
Oh, nice. I like that. That's yes. Kind of cool.
It drops August 11th. Former Traitors competitors will relive all of the betrayals starting from season one of the Peacock reality series, which is the only season that features both celebrities and real folk. So that's something to look forward to. I wonder how these guys are going to take to season one, because season one was actually really good for what it was, but
are you saying that it's better with that the shows are better without any real contestants on them?
No, the shows are really good, but here's the thing. Season one was the only one with real contestants in addition to celebrities. It has to be a combination, you know, I think, and this is just me talking, it has to be a combination of the two. You have to balance it out. Granted, you're going to get the audience, but they all know each other, which really takes away from something. You know what I mean?
Which is why, again, as I said, I'm not a fan of the million. I'm not a fan of the celebrity shows. When, like, for example, Celebrity Wheel of Fortune, great. Celebrity Jeopardy, fine. Okay.
Big Brother All Stars.
No, but again, it's not All Stars because. Again, if you're not taking away from the real game, I have no issue with it.
There you go.
If you're taking away from the real game, I do. Anyway, that's a smart idea.
Yeah, it's available on all major platforms. Be on the lookout for it.
This better not be.
Welcome to Dumb Decisions.
That's dumb.
You're so dumb. You are really dumb. For real.
So, according to what happened was is that our first evictee, and I'm sorry again for taking over stuff, Zay Frederick was playing a round of chess on Big Brother, okay, and basically said when he was playing chess with Keanu, I'm going to clean this up. Oh poop, I'm a freaking R word, okay, and people were like, you shouldn't say that, and really, no, you shouldn't.
And no? It sort of slipped out. He said, whoa, I did not expect myself to say that. Give him credit. At least he apologized. He said in
right away.
Right away. And then he doubled down on the apology in an interview with Entertainment Weekly, saying, obviously, I apologize for anyone offended by my words. I didn't mean it like that. I regretted it as soon as I said it, and I hope people don't look at me less because of it. I was so involved in that game of chess that I just didn't think, and it kind of just slipped out, and I was like, whoa, I did not expect myself to say that. And I tried to correct it and move on to the best I could.
Well, I mean, for me, no.
Yeah, no, it's. I mean, it's better than most media apologies that are out there. But that all being said,
exactly. I agree. But it's better. Not great, but it's still better.
It's better than nothing. It's better than the crap we got from the Love Island villa. Am I right?
Dude, come on. I'm thirsty, man. It's hot. Haterade!
Well, last week, we reported that Stephen Colbert, his late show, has been canceled, and it will run out till May 2026. Not just him as the host, but the entire show. Since then, everybody has been rallying around Stephen against Paramount. And when we say everybody, everybody. You know, he made the news public on The Late Show. And over the last week, we've seen all of the major late night hosts in the audience for The Late Show. Now, it might have been a bit, but still, they're all there. And also, you know, historically, South Park has a turnaround time of a week. They will have an episode planned for that particular time slot. Then they find out some sort of current events and churn out an episode in a week. That happened this week.
Yes, it did.
Basically put, there's a cancellation of one of the guys' favorite shows. Some stuff happens, and the president ends up in bed with the devil. By the way, it is available for streaming right now. If you can find it, it is called Sermon on the Mount. You see what they did there?
Mm-hmm.
But where are we sending everybody?
We are sending everybody to the UK because we have perhaps the final chapter of this story that we've been covering for the past couple of weeks.
Been around the world and I can't find my baby. I don't know when, I don't know why.
So I don't know if you remember this, but MasterChef UK has had a bit of a turnover problem.
Yes.
Time.
Both of the hosts have been fired, one because of language and one because he was a little bit obscene. But yeah, Greg Wallace and John Turow's last season of MasterChef will air on BBC One as produced. According to the BBC, after careful consideration and consultation with the contestants, it will air MasterChef Season 21 on both BBC One and BBC iPlayer. This has not been an easy decision in the circumstances, and we appreciate not everyone will agree with it. In showing the series, which was filmed last year, it in no way diminishes our view of the seriousness of the upheld findings against both presenters. We have been very clear on the standards of behavior that we expect of those who work at the BBC or on shows made for the BBC. Show will launch August 6th. No decision has been made on the celebrity version, which has also been filmed, and on the Christmas special, which will feature the presenters as well.
Well, this reminds me, actually, Gordon, try this one for you. Liam Payne's episodes of what's the name of that show?
Building the Band.
Building the Band?
Yes. Building the Band.
Guy died and they show the episodes. This is on the same level, Sam's, you know. It really is. You know, it's very few times is a show going to be not shown. Very few times.
Yep. I think the only time when a show had to be absolutely positively either pulled off the air or not shown at all, they were both on VH1, and they both had to do with a murder suspect who ended up taking his own life. There were Megan Wants a Millionaire, which was pulled after one or two episodes, and I Love Money Season 3. Now, there have been other shows and other seasons of shows on other networks that have aired in their entirety, but after some unsavoriness came out, they were pulled from the library and rendered persona non grata. Mostly coming from the Food Network. Y'all know what they are.
Mm-hmm.
So, such a move is not without precedent, and I want to believe that by airing this season of MasterChef, it's more for the contestants than it is for the presenters. And I'm wondering if Banerjee, who owns the show, is going to go back to the Bay and re-edit everything to reflect that.
We'll see. We'll definitely see. But then we're going to get some more UK Media Pros.
I got pros. In different area codes. Area codes. Pros. In different area codes.
Hey! This week's Media Pro Report, we also lost Ozzy Osbourne and Malcolm Jamal Warner this week. It's been a very sad week.
And also Chuck Mangione, too.
And Chuck Mangione. It's been a really sad week for Gen Xers, let me tell you. Robert Llewellyn, who hosted Junkyard Wars in the UK, is returning to the format for Channel 4.
I also, by the way, Ken Jennings' new Connections trivia book is going on sale next week, and he's doing a book tour.
Nice.
Ooh.
Derek Hough and Haley Herbert are going to welcome their first child. Congratulations to them. Kelly Ripa and Mark Consuelo send their love to Ryan Seacrest after he breaks down Sunday during an update on his father's prostate cancer battle.
Oh, good. Really? Oh, wow. Okay. I didn't know that was going on. Okay.
Yeah.
I am very familiar with that, so I hope his father's doing okay.
Blake Horstman and Janina Gabelli teased an intimate wedding. Manuela Arbeláez has shared her Premier Week rack. That's right, my friends. Price is Right is rolling!
Yes!
Rob Brydon has been tapped to host Destination X for the BBC. Jim Jeffries has a new special for Netflix. Kelly Clarkson is no longer interested in dating. And Aisha Nurjaja will join the panel for Bobby's Triple Threat. The new season begins September 2nd. But none of them are your pros of the week, and they are pros that go back. Oh, well, actually, I may have mentioned this about 15, 20 seconds ago. NBC is shaking up The Voice for its 29th season in spring of 2026. It is called Battle of the Champions. Part of the legendary February with Winter Olympic coverage, Super Bowl 60, and the NBA All-Star Game, we have The Voice Battle of Champions with the blinds coaches competing against each other in a triple turn competition vying for the most three chair turns, with the winner gaining a special advantage. The battles, the coaches with the most three chair turns earns a super steal, which can only be used once. A knockout round where each coach will bring back two fan favorite artists from their teams from previous seasons to compete in an all-star competition. And then you have the semifinals and the finals. Your pros of the week are the three coaches that have been chosen. Adam Levine, Kelly Clarkson, and John Legend.
How is she going to do the show? Or do you think she's going to pre-tape most of it for her talk show?
I think I think something's going to be pre-taped. Either this or her talk show are going to be pre-taped.
Okay.
Oh, wait, there's more. For the first time in show history, a new voting block comprised of... Oh, Jesus. A new voting block comprised of superfans and past voice artists will have the opportunity to get in on the fun firsthand, experiencing the competition as part of the in-studio audience voting for their favorites in real time during the semifinals and the finale. All together now! Boo! Yeah. You get a group of super fans to vote.
By the way, I just saw you do the air quotes, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
I saw it. I heard it. I saw it. Dude.
Have I become that?
You're 1,500 miles away, and I saw it. Okay.
Have I become so predictable in the past 500 shows?
Yeah.
Okay. Just checking. But yeah, that season will drop in spring of 2026.
And those are your pros.
And that is Brain Vision. Jason, if you would, please.
Oh, you made the button like glittery right here. Thank you. I swear I hit the right button. Thought I did anyway. What's happening in Act 3?
Act 3. Gordon went shopping for our 500th episode, and we're going to see.
I did.
We're going to see if we're going to buy what he's selling right after we hear from another good friend of the show.
Hey, we love to interrupt. Congrats on making it to 500 episodes. This is Mickey Bowden, and I'm so excited to see what you all have coming up for the next 500.
Excellent. That is producer extraordinaire Mickey Bowden, who has done shows like The Chase, I believe also A Bit of Fresher Luck, and a lot of other stuff. And we have met her a couple of times at some game show conventions, and she is a very, very, very lovely lady.
She's a sweetheart. We love Mickey around here. We'll be right back.
Hey, this is Heather Hurley, the original Mental Samurai Grand Champion, and I want to wish the guys at We Love to Interrupt congratulations on 500 shows. Drink your water, wear a hat, and keep on interrupting.
That's cool!
The OG Mental Samurai, Heather Hurley, also on the very first episode of The Chase to be broadcast in the U.S.
That's a pretty good... Wow, that's awesome. Wow, you should see me smiling.
I will say I had the pleasure of quizzing with her. I also had the pleasure of singing with her.
That's so awesome. That's so great. In this special episode, Gordon, you spent some money on us, didn't you? Or we might spend some money on us.
We may. I decided it's 500 episodes. So I wanted to bring back certain things that we've had and basically say, are you buying what they're selling? And I will go with the very first subject in the very first WLTI that we've ever done. And that was Fear Factor.
Ooh, very good. So are you saying, am I buying the new version of Fear Factor with Johnny Knoxville? Is that what you're saying?
Well, that's part of it, but are you buying the new Fear Factor t-shirt that says, I'm with him because clearly fear is not a factor with me?
Absolutely, I am. And as I said...
1995.
And I am actually also buying the new version. As I said before, Johnny Knoxville hosting Fear Factor is absolutely the most inspired casting choice in a long, long, long time. So, yes, I'm buying it.
I am also buying it, A, because I like shirts with things on them, and B, because if you think about it, Fear Factor has not had a very bad host. Even Johnny Knoxville, that casting shows some promise. I mean, Joe Rogan was great for the format. Ludacris was great for the format. I want to see Johnny Knoxville be great for the format.
Ludacris hosted Fear Factor.
Wait, who?
Ludacris.
Oh, yeah. He hosted
absolutely
three seasons on MTV.
MTV.
I'm excited. Is it weird that I'm excited?
I am excited, yes. Yes.
And I'm excited also. Next one. So now we go from that to something a little bit more current, something that someone may sort of have a personal interest in. But from the Etsy website, would you buy a Let's Make a Deal Zonky the Donkey plushie?
Yes.
For $50?
Yeah, of course I would.
I'd buy with it. I'd sleep with it. I'd hug it and kiss it and name it George.
Oh, I had a feeling you're going to be doing that. Delays, delays. Where is the bunny? I'm looking for my Imodium 232 space pirator.
Exactly. No, not only would I buy it, I want the whole damn collection. I want Zerola the Gorilla.
Zerola the Turtle.
Right. And Zonkaroo. I want them all. I want them all. I want them all and give them to me now. They are actually quite cool. So, yes, I would buy them.
Thank you, Veruca Block. All right, next one, and this is Big Brother Part 1, though it's not really Big Brother.
It's Big Brother adjacent?
Well, it's from, would you spend money for an hour class of aura painting?
Aura painting?
Led by our contestant, Ava.
Oh, I don't even know what that is, and now I'm curious. So yeah, I would.
No. Sorry. I am not into the touchy-feely aura painting. No, I am not buying one.
You're not into touchy-feeling anything, Jay.
Uh-huh.
I would do it, because it's painting. And why not?
Not an art guy!
So, I mean, it's fun, and, you know, I figure because, you know, during the years, Big Brother contestants have been review bombed, especially if they say something or do something that's against other contestants that the audience wants to see win. So, I've seen this happen before, so let's give some love.
Okay.
So now, Big Brother Part 2, would you buy a set of Zingbot 3000 socks and or a life-size cutout of Zingbot 3000? A life-size cardboard cutoff. Yes.
Honestly, no, and this is not because of hatred. It's just I don't have the room for the Zingbot cardboard cutout, and the socks, just not a fan of, like, specialty socks. I'm more just of a regular sock guy.
I can have specialty socks, but I'm getting to the age where I'm also wearing compression socks, and I have to wear the specialty socks above the compression socks. So I'm wearing two pairs of socks every day. Still, no. I would not buy Zingbot socks, and I would not buy my own Zingbot.
If it actually had noises coming out of the cardboard cutout, I would seriously consider doing it.
I was about to say, it's like, yo, you need to, like, make a rig, attach it to the back of it, so it will play some zingers with a push of a button. Like, I don't know if you have the Price is Right Plinko board, Gordon, either one, but it has like this thing on the bottom that plays Price is Right music. Get one of those for the Zingbot and I would consider it.
I would too, but not how it is right now. So let's go on. Next one. Would you buy a... Now, we're talking about Top Chef Canada a little bit, but we're not. Because, you know, we had Top Chef in Canada. But would you buy a cookbook from MasterChef Canada winner Mary Berg? Because those are out on sale.
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, totally. Totally. I'm always good for a solid cookbook, aren't you guys?
Yeah, I am too. It should be because a cookbook will only have, I mean, you will find that one recipe from that one chef that you're like, I can do this. Okay. So
yeah, I'm down.
Down. Yes.
I would absolutely do that because those are fun.
Okay. Left, I believe. One left.
Finally.
Okay.
Would you buy a mask singer mask that says you look maskless in the style of the mask singer costumes?
Nope. Nope. And no. Mask singer has worn out their welcome for me a while, and I would not buy anything. However, what I would buy is one of the actual costumes, not just the mask. The whole thing. Okay.
By the way, they have those at Palin, at the Palin Center.
The Paley Center?
You mean the Paley Center?
Yeah.
For New York?
Palin Media Center. In New York, they've had the Masked Singer tour. I'm not sure if it's still there anymore, but they've had the tour, and you get to see all the masks, Masked Singer costumes.
That's very cool.
Indeed it is.
But I agree with Jason. I would not buy a mask. I would think about buying, if it's a really cool costume, I would think about it.
I would also think about buying.
It ran from March to June of 2024. Last year.
There you go.
I would also buy the full costume, not just the mask. So there you go.
You know what? That's what we're, you know, you did good, Gordon. You did good, but
now if it was Synergy, which it wouldn't be because they're two different networks, but a Masked Singer costume of Zonky the Donkey.
Hell yeah! But we've got one final message, right, Chico? I believe
we do have one final message, and we do have it coming up right after this break here on We Love to Interrupt. As we get set for a speed round right on the other side of this. Yeah, I totally know how to throw it to break. Don't judge me. We'll be right back.
Well, Mike, can you believe Chico and the buds at WLTI made it to 500 episodes?
What took them so long? We passed 500 episodes like 9 months ago.
Yeah, come on, guys. You're slack. Jason, Gordon, we went to 500 episodes like last year, and you've probably done this way longer than us, okay?
Damn slackers.
Slacker.
That's your boys, aren't they?
Greg and Mike. Greg Theater, Mike Klaus. The guys at It Was a Thing on TV, which they think we don't plug them. They think we don't love them, but we totally do.
We totally do, and I love the fact that they love retro television and weird retro television, which is actually a very, very, very fun podcast, and congrats on all the success to them. But we need to get out of here because this episode, well, a little tease about something. The episode technically won't be over this week. Explain. But we need to start a speed round, and we're going to do that now. Big Brother, who needs to be the head of household, and who's in trouble?
Who was Keanu? Had the right play by winning the veto. He needs to win HOH in order to solidify his control.
Well, let me ask you something. Is Rachel long for this game, or
no.
Does she have
another? No, she's not. Rachel is playing this game magnificently badly. Like the only reason why she's still in the house is that the first two head of household reigns were dumpster fire number one and dumpster fire number two.
That's right. Yes. Exactly.
So yeah, she needs to win something, anything, or she's leaving.
Yes.
Yes.
So there you go. Rachel is in big trouble, let's just say. By the way, I heard your father in the background. Thank you, Sergeant.
Yes. So
you're welcome.
Yes. Jeopardy. Do we get 17? I believe we do.
I think we get 17. I think Scott McCartney comes back for the next season.
I remember what some big studly stud that's been doing this now for around 500 episodes. Saying that June and July are always the slow months on Jeopardy, and this is usually the time when mega champions win mega league. Do you remember who that stud was? I'm trying to remember.
I don't know, that stud owes me a sushi Rito.
Yes, exactly. AGT is going to come back next week. This week we had a episode off with the Golden Buzzer history. Still in auditions, right? I believe for a couple more.
I believe
more
we have one more auditions, and then we go into judges cuts.
Okay. Still think we've seen the winner.
Jessica Sanchez. We went over this.
Okay. Just saying. Okay.
Okay. Project Runway drops next Thursday. Are we looking forward to any shocks or? What are we looking for?
I'm looking forward to see how they do this because it's been a while since they've been there. Remember, Gordon, you know, sometimes when a show goes away too long, people don't remember. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but there's a couple of things that I'm really intrigued about this show, including Christian Soriano returning, but as a judge this time.
Right.
Press your luck. Does anybody win the million?
No. No, because...
they have as much chance as somebody winning Ninja Warrior the honest way.
Ooh. I see what you did there.
Yes, you did.
Okay. Ken Jennings and Matt Damon, do they win the million?
I say yes.
I also say yes.
I will say they stop at 500,000 because then they're going to have the, I think we know it, but we're not sure. And it's too much money to give to that charity and all the little girls and boys out the blah, blah, blah. They stop at 500K.
Okay. We do have a bit of mail to talk about.
Good.
From our ombudsman, Stephen Mewis. May I be among the first to congratulate you on the 500th episode of WLTI. As you probably know, I've been a faithful listener from the beginning and even before when the show was text only. I expect you have many things planned to mark the occasion, but I've always wanted to know, how did you guys first meet and how did the show originally come about? I think you could spare 2 or 3 minutes to tell that story.
This is an absolutely great story. I was not involved in the first 3 years of WLTI.
Well, before we do that, let's go with how Gordon met Chico.
Okay,
because I know that Chico and Jason Elliott once upon a time wanted to do a game show podcast. So I submitted my resume, which was, I think, 5 to 10 pages worth of everything that I knew about game shows. And I think Jason just gave me that blank, starry-eyed look and went, okay, you're in.
I just said, You got another spot? And he says, cool. So that's how I met Gordon. And I met Jason through Gordon because Gordon knew Jason from a couple of projects they were doing. And what?
No, really?
Oh, no.
This is one of the... I love this story because it's so bad. In 2002, I went to one of the game show congresses in Los Angeles at the Burbank. I see this guy, Gordon, and...
Some guy named Gordon.
And the first words I ever said to Gordon, I had known him, and you know...
Oh, no, I will give you the full thing. So I'm like, hey, are you Jason Block? He's like, yeah, hey, Gordon Pepper, Game Show News Net. And then Jason goes, oh, you guys cover everything. I'm like, yeah, we cover regular game shows and we cover reality game shows. And then Jason says,
reality shows suck. Okay, those are the first. And he goes, oh? And then we had a conversation about reality shows. And then we hung out during the convention. Gordon gave me his phone number, and 23 years later, we are still friends. But
the relationship solidified over two events. The first one happened in Vegas when I showed Jason how to play the slot machine correctly and make money.
Yes, I won $150.
Then the second one was when we were meeting up with Ed Kalehoff. And Jason didn't believe that I knew Kid Ed Kalehoff.
Yes, the Ed Kalehoff, the guy who, again, wrote all the game show music, for those who don't know. I didn't believe Gordon because I had been, burned many times before. Then when we had met in the studio and it was a cold winter's day, and then Ed shows up and goes, Gordy, how are you? And they give a big hug and my jaw dropped and I'm like, I will never not believe a word he says again. And we have done many projects together over the past 23 years. And we have had so much fun. And most of it had to do with this. We're going to talk about the legacy of this, but thank you for that reminder, because we have been friends, all of us, Gordon, Chico, and I, for over 20 years. And we've been through a lot, both personally and professionally. And I will tell you one of my favorite things. When I got to do the press tour for when Wheel of Fortune was in New York, about 10, a while back, and I got Game Show News Net to be on the letterboard. I remember you, Gordon, and you, Chico, both calling me going, damn, you got that? I was like, yeah. So that, I think that was one of our proudest achievements there. So
yeah.
I will give you two quick funny stories that I remember. The first one was when Chico paid us a visit over to New York. And we hung out, and we got tickets to Maury Povich.
And we were all there for
the Chicken Tetrazzini episode.
Yo, that, you know what that turned into, Gordon? Do you know what that turned into? That turned into my cool story, Jeopardy guy.
Yes.
Yes, it was. Yes, it did.
Yes, it did, because... in between the two episodes, we saw Barack Obama's inauguration. I will never forget that. On January 20th.
That will always be legendary. That would be a legendary moment.
January 20th, 2009, we're sitting in the Maury Studios, and I'm sitting there, and everyone's cheering their ass off, eating pizza, and I'm going, grr.
This was before Jason's heart grew three sizes, mind you.
Yes, it did, yeah. I'm
And then the other quick story, I mean, we've had tons of these, and I don't want to make this a 4-hour episode, but one of the other fun things was when Jason and I went to the premiere in Kaufman Astoria Studios of Power of 10. The
yes.
first episode where the $1 million was won immediately on the show.
Oh, yeah. I remember hearing that story, and you were looking at, you two were looking at Drew Carey. You go over to Jason, you whisper to us, like, that's the new host of The Price is Right.
I remember that.
Yep, first.
Dead. And I was like, yeah, right. I was like, yeah. And then 2 weeks, what was it, 2 weeks later, 3 weeks later, on the Power of 10, and I'm sorry, on the David Letterman show, they announce it. And, and according to what Drew Carey said, like CM Punk, the contract wasn't signed until like moments before he went on stage.
There you go. We will have more stories on the second part of 500 because there's a bunch more.
Yeah, there's also a second half of the letter that I'm going to save till next week. So,
oh, okay, great, absolutely. But next, by the way, we can do the plugs because we have a lot to talk about next week, including we have a special guest lined up.
We do have a special guest lined up. He's going to be answering 20 questions, and it is going to be oh so much fun.
And let's put it to you this way. Dreams do come true, and for this person, it took him a long time to get there. But, oh my goodness, he is one of the most inspirational contestants of season 41 of Jeopardy. That's all I can say.
Yes, he is. So, in the meantime, don't forget, if you want to hit us up on our socials, you can do that at Game Show Newsnet or at WLTIGameShowNewsnet.com if you want to go the email route. But back to the socials, I am at Dino R. Alexander.
I am at Beat the Block, number 2 at the end.
And I'm at GSNN Hatery.
And of course, the network is at 5&1net. That's the number 5, ANDONENET, where we talk about anything and everything happening network-wide. For example, Nikki joined Jason and myself and Gordon as we talked about the legacy of Hulk Hogan in an emergency broadcast, which will go up on site soon.
Soon, along with the regular episode where we're going to cover the road to SummerSlam, we're going to cover Slammiversary, and again, of course, we're going to continue the coverage of the Hulk Hogan passing.
Yes, and Tuesday, Jay and myself and VRM and anybody else who wants to join us, we'll get together to basically go over the summer in big football news, a lot of big contracts, an NFLPA president resigning, and the UFL is getting restructured. Basically, if you're a fan of the USFL conference, sorry, but you're gonna have to get a map to find your favorite team next season.
Oops.
Gordon, what's going on the panel, my friend?
Well, right now we may have a tournament coming or a little contest coming up, but it's all eyes on Battle Bowl. This is where the money is made and lost. And as I've said a whole bunch of times, we're going to be giving out over 6 digits of monies, a 6-figured digit of monies. That happened second week, so we got a little bit more, shall we say, emotion going on.
Second week of August?
Yep, second weekend in August, Delaware. Battle Bowl 16. Catch it.
If you need any security, you know, that's a lot of money. That's a lot of money. But,
if I need security, I'll get Nikki Haman.
Nice. And of course, it was a thing. Duh, the one who, I feel so bad. It was a thing.
They literally gave me the business about this, Jason.
I know. Yes.
Yeah. It was a thing on TV. We did the couch potato workout celebrating the birthday of one Calvert DeForest, AKA Larry Bud Melman. That's on site right now. As is the newest episode of the Squared Circle Time Machine, where Greg and Dane Wojcik talk about Great American Bash 1991. One of the worst pay-per-views of all time. And all of that is at itwasathingontv.com.
Now, are we calling this next episode still part of 500? Or are we going to call it 500.5?
I think we're going to call it 500.5 because it is going to be a regular episode. But it's going to have stuff that we wanted to put on the 500th episode, but we just did not have the time or the space to do it. So consider this episode that we're wrapping up part one. Our next episode is part two.
And one of the things we're going to be talking about, we're going to do, is because we're just about in August and the new seasons start within 4 weeks. Is that right? 4 weeks? 5 weeks?
4 or 5 weeks. Wow. Time flies. Time flies when you're having fun, and it's all about having fun on this show.
Right, and we return with our one of our favorite segments called Five Good Questions. About certain, we ask the questions about the fall preview, and we're going to talk about Jeopardy. And that will probably include regular Jeopardy, Jeopardy Masters, Celebrity Jeopardy, and maybe even pop culture Jeopardy.
So much Jeopardy, so few questions. All of that's coming up. Plus, we sit down with a Jeopardy icon next week. But until then, for Gordon Pepper, for Jason Block, for everybody at 5N1, my name is Chico Alexander, and all I can say is, before we leave, we just want to thank you from the bottom of our hearts for being the most important part of these 500 episodes. Said it before, say it again. We do this show. We love game shows. We love you, and we're living because of you. And without you guys, we're just three people talking into microphones on the internet. But yeah, until next week, when we continue writing a new chapter in game show history, our time is up. We thank you for yours. Game over. And spread the love.
Interrupt this program.